Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know that our best interviews are often highlighted right on the main screen? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
What a perfect time to speak to Mark Farber. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I think I'm very good. You have been watching the political struggles of Europe. What is a distinctive feature in this 2012, or is it just crisis as usual?
Well, yes, we have a crisis in Europe, but basically the crisis has been postponed by monetary interventions. It's not being resolved, but it's being postponed. And as you know, the market is a discounting mechanism and therefore has rallied very strongly, say, in the U.S. from the S&P low of 1,074 on October 4th to now 1,360 or thereabouts. So basically, markets are anticipating a resolution to the crisis.
Within that, and you come to us from Shanghai, tell us about the gloom, boom, and doom of China. We've gotten a lot of different reports on this. Is this going to be an equity recovery that has every nation go up, or is it unique to the United States?
Well, basically, I'm talking, not from Shanghai, but from Chiang Mai in Thailand.
Excuse me, from Chiang Mai.
Which is in the north, but the point is this: in the case of China, yes, stocks have rallied somewhat. They're up 9% this year, but other markets have done much better. I mean, you take, for instance, India is up almost 20%, and the currency has strengthened. So from January 1st until now, you're up 20%. And in general, emerging economies, stock markets have outperformed the U.S. over the last few weeks.
Well, this deal with Greece, eventually the phrase is going to come into this conversation, kick the can down the road. Is that pretty much all that's been accomplished?
Well, basically, if you are a central bank and you, as in the words of Mr. Bernanke, drop dollar bills onto the United States, you create temporary a relief. The money doesn't flow into all sectors of the economy equally. So in the case of the recent monetary expansion and balance sheet expansion of central banks, it has boosted mostly equity prices, but also in the case of commodities, energy prices. So say the lower class members of society and the middle class, they suffer because of rising food and energy prices, whereas the well-to-do people, they do very well because they own equities and other assets. But this can last for quite some time, and you have to have larger and larger monetary injections to keep the party going, but eventually the party will come to an end. And this is what is the most difficult to determine. At the present time, say compared to October, November of last year. In October, November of last year, sentiment was very negative. And now sentiment essentially accepts the fact you print money, stocks go up. And there is a consensus that this will continue. But at some point, it's not going to work. And my feeling is that whereas markets were very oversold last October and November, now they're overbought. And I think it's a better time now to take some money off the table than to buy enthusiastically.
Well, the next deadline here is about a month from now when Greece has a bond payment due, and that $172 or $173 billion is more than enough to pay that. But then in April, Greek elections. Will they vote for a new government?
Well, I think there is a possibility to vote for a new government, but whatever happens, the fact is simply Greece is bankrupt. Now, if you have a bankrupt company, either you let the company go essentially into receivership and out of business, or you support it with government interventions. I'm against the support and the government interventions, but we have to look at it. That's the way it is in today's environment, and maybe they will continue to support Greece. The fact is someone will take a loss somewhere, either the taxpayers who have to continuously bail out Greece, and I think in the end they will default anyway, but it can be postponed. The best, and I have argued this for the last few years, is would have been to let Greece go bust right away. It would have been far less costly than now.
Within that cost is a foreign currency calculation. Do you just presume, Mark Faber, that if we drag this along and we come to some form of resolution where Greece in some way defaults, that the euro does the opposite of what everybody expects? We get significant euro appreciation with Greece moving on, and that harms Germany?
Well, significant appreciation, I doubt, but the euro was very weak until just recently, and recently it has been strengthening, and I think this strengthening may last a little bit longer, but I'm not optimistic about the euro. I think, in general, the U.S. is in a better shape than, say, the European economies, and in the U.S. we see some result of the money printing, which is, say, a bottoming out of the housing market and a slight improvement in economic activity.
But, Mark, commodities, you come to us from northern Thailand, farmland in the United States getting expensive again, according to Ann Deignan of J.P. Morgan. How do you play commodities right now?
Well, basically, my view is that the Chinese economy is slowing down more than is perceived. Whether we'll have a crash or just a meaningful slowdown, that we don't know. I would lean towards that we will eventually have a crash, and that shouldn't be particularly good for industrial commodities. So I prefer to play the commodity space by owning gold, physical. But I think that the gold market is still under a correction. We made a peak on September 6th of last year at 1,921. Then we went down to 1,521 on December 29th of last year. Then we rebounded, but I think the correction is not over. So I'm not in a hurry to buy gold, but I accumulate gold every month.
It's a nice pennant. I just sent that chart out, folks, at Bloomberg Radio Plus, out on iTunes. It's free. Android in 2 months. I said that out on Google Plus this week. And Android in 2 months. And it is an elegant chart, Ken. It's a well-contained gold chart as well.
Yeah, and Mark, you buy physical gold.
Yes, I buy physical gold. And if I were an American, I would store it outside the U.S. because in the U.S. it is not completely unlikely that they will eventually take it away. In other words, they'll pay a price, but like in 1933, gold will be purchased back by the government.
What brings you to that conclusion?
Well, I mean, I think eventually the financial mess will be such that gold prices will go ballistic. And in that situation, the governments, they will take away something from a minority, and not many people own gold. So essentially, if gold prices shoot up, it will be quite a popular measure to take it away from these rich people, as the saying is at the present time. So, and since it's happened before, why not another time?
Along that line, Mark, as a student of political economics, as you are, your comments, please, on the perceived or actual class warfare within this election cycle in the United States. Your thoughts on how the election shapes up as we go to November?
Well, I mean, I travel extensively through the U.S. and so forth. And obviously what has happened in terms of the bailout of Wall Street and of banks has upset a lot of people because obviously they went bankrupt. I've been visiting some homes in Atlanta. And when you visit these homes that have been foreclosed upon and where families, decent families, they bought homes in 2001 before the bubble, and Atlanta never really had a significant housing bubble. These people, maybe they refinanced, and then one person in the household lost his job, and they were two bread earners before, so they couldn't afford to pay the mortgages, and they've been forced out. And when you see these homes and where the children used to live, you understand that there is anger in the country. And in the context of money printing, what happens usually is that the lower income recipients and the lower middle class suffers more than the high-end income recipients. And so the wealth and income disparity increases and creates a socially very unstable environment, also geopolitically. And I can understand that poor people who lost their jobs and their homes and are struggling, that they're not particularly happy with Wall Street.
Let's leave it there, Mark Faber. Thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.